Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that sings the title of that Harrison Ford Russian sub movie like it's a Steely Dan song. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Randy Monkey Man Perry.
I can't get no satisfaction until I kick your ass.
Trip the Mole Payne.
There's no exemption from your defeat.
And Will Red Alert Cordonese.
The odds of you both living long and prospering throughout this encounter are roughly 2,228.7 to 1.
Hello to everybody, and a ginormous thank you for being here today. This week, we are continuing the Season 3 playoffs as our three returning players duke it out to be declared the winner of the Appellate Division. First, we got to introduce Score Master Dan. Hey there, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. Don't tell the players, but since it's the playoffs, we got those crab puffs up here in the booth again. So if you want Dave and I to bag some up for you, just let me know.
And also up there is Production Master Dave. Hey there, Dave.
Pardon me. Would you have any Grey Poupon?
Yellow mustard or nothing. All right, we have no time to debate this further, so we've got to get over to a first game of My Champion. That's the game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere within the world of pop culture, but we choose the challenge those champions are going to undergo. Randy, who have you chosen for your champion today?
Llewellyn Sinclair, the theater director voiced by John Lovitz in The Simpsons episode A Streetcar Named Marge.
Trip?
My champion is Rosario from Will and Grace.
And Will?
Jimmy McGill, a.k.a. Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
All right, champions are locked in. Scoremaster Dan is going to be our judge today. So that means it's time to spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, which champion would best handle themselves at a high society dinner with too many forks? Randy, why is Llewellyn Sinclair going to make it out okay at a high society dinner?
Llewellyn Sinclair is an artistic type, so he's probably been in these kinds of environments before where he's had to schmooze with patrons of the arts to try to get funding for some of the projects that he's trying to direct. So he's probably got some familiarity and possibly even some formal training in etiquette and things like that. Also with that, he's definitely got a high level of confidence, so even if he's not sure, he would give off the appearance of being sure that he knows what he's doing. He's multilingual, speaks French and German, which sort of implies a bit of sophistication and cosmopolitan nature. So I think he'd do just fine in that type of setting.
Trip, how about Rosario from Will and Grace?
I mean, seriously? She's a domestic employee who works in a mansion. Do I really need to go further?
And Will, how about Saul Goodman?
Well, one of Saul's greatest skills is, of course, the art of BS. And if he were to, say, grab the wrong fork and someone were to call him out or sneer at him, he'd probably be able to convince them that they were the ones in the wrong and then also make them love him even more for it because of his way with people.
Three great arguments, but Dan is going to determine our winner. Who have we got, Dan?
Oh, this is a tough one. I do think it's likely that Llewellyn Sinclair's had to deal with some high society meetings, but, you know, those generally don't happen over dinner, so I'm not sure that he's actually, you know, knows which forks to use. Saul Goodman, you can get a little far but just by trying to your way through it, but I think you actually have to know where these things are, and I think of all the people who are at high society dinner, I gotta say, I think Rosario would be at the high society dinner because she just wouldn't be eating, but she'd be handling herself the way a domestic servant should at those dinners. So I think our winner is Trip and Rosario.
Woo. Fantastic. Trip, you have won my champion, which means you get a crack at the half point. Your half point question is, the 1956 film High Society involves a love triangle between Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and this Rear Window star.
I believe that is Grace Kelly.
Correct. For the half point, that means you also get to go first in round one called Missed It by That Much. On the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, we have a lot of fun finding unexpected linkages between movies and TV shows. But sometimes the shows do the work for us. In this game, I'll give you brief descriptions of two movies or TV shows whose names differ by just the first letter. You have to name them both. So, if we were looking for a 2003 Will Ferrell Christmas comedy and a 1986 puppet-heavy sitcom, you'd know that the titles were...
Elf and Alf.
Elf and Alf. Knowing that would get you 10 points. If you're not sure, I can give you one of the titles, and then you can name the other for 5 points. Note that we'll be ignoring any articles at the start of a title, so the boys would just be boys for the purposes of this game. Starting off with our My Champion winner, Trip. We have a 2012 comedy about a foul-mouthed bear and a 2010 Bruce Willis actioner.
Those would be Ted and Red.
For 10 points. Next up for Randy, a 2005 Will Smith movie and a 2015 historical horror flick.
2005 Will Smith. Hitch and the Witch.
Can we get a correct pronunciation on the Witch, please, Randy?
Vavitch.
Thank you.
The Hitch and the Vavitch. Next up for Will, a 2005 violent sci-fi video game adaptation and a 2015 Brie Larson drama.
So the Brie Larson drama is Room. Doom and Room.
Correct for the full 10 points. Back to Trip, a 2012 Julia Louis-Dreyfus satire and a 1977 Peter Benchley adaptation about treasure hunters.
Oh, okay. What are Veep? Veep and The Deep.
Wrong game show.
Yeah. I'm sure people do that constantly.
You are actually the first, but, you know, it's the first for everything.
For Randy, the 2002 U.S. remake of a Japanese horror flick and a 2016 animated feature about animals in an American Idol-style competition.
That would be The Ring and Sing.
For Will, a 2005 HBO historical drama and a 2015 animated feature about aliens on the run.
Oh boy. I'm sure I know both of these, but I think I'm going to need the hint.
The first one is Rome.
I'm going to guess Rome and Home. Oh.
Correct for 5 points.
I was trying to think Vatagascar, Latagascar.
For Trip, a much remade 1980 Irene Cara movie and a 1997 David Fincher thriller.
Fame and the Game.
Correct. Randy, a 2009 movie about Sam Rockwell in space and a 2011 flick in which Sean William Scott plays hockey.
That is, I was going to say Galaxy Quest, but no, it's Moon and Goon.
And for Will, a 2009 movie with Chris Evans as a superpowered government agent and a 2013 movie about dueling race car drivers.
2013 about dueling race car drivers. That's Rush. Push?
Push and Rush is correct. And that'll take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Boy, you can really tell this is the playoffs. All our players are doing well. This could not be closer. Right now, Will has 25 points. Randy is slightly ahead with 30. Trip has 30 points and the half point, putting him into first place for now.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Back to Trip, an Oscar-winning 1985 Akira Kurosawa movie based on Shakespeare, and a 2015 fantasy with Hugh Jackman as a pirate.
Okay, well, the first one is Ron. And the second one, I don't know the movie, but just based on pirate, I'm going to say Pan.
Yes, the Peter Pan prequel, Pan. For Randy, a 2017 Netflix series about ladies pro wrestling and a 2001 Johnny Depp movie about the Medellin cartel.
Yeah, this question makes me a little sad because the Netflix series RIP is Glow and the Johnny Depp movie is Blow.
Correct. And for Will, a 2004 horror flick that launched a franchise and a 2017 horror movie about cannibalism.
I know this is wrong, but I can't think of anything else. Ring and Thing. Yeah.
Well, the Ring already made an appearance in this game. Oh, Trip knows this one.
I feel like it's Saw, and just from cannibalism, I would guess Raw.
Yes, the movie about French veterinary students who get a taste for human flesh.
C'est bon.
Back over to Trip, a 1990 Tim Daly sitcom, and a 2009 Ian McShane show based on the biblical story of David.
Okay, well, I think the sitcom is that utter classic Wings. I'll guess that it's The Kings.
Just Kings, but since we're ignoring articles, you got it. 10 points, Wings and Kings. For Randy, a 2004 ABC Puzzle Box series and a 2017 Spielberg historical drama.
Okay, 2017 Spielberg, that would be The Post. And ABC Puzzle Box series, Host?
Will knows this one.
Would that be Lost?
Oh.
Lost and The Post. And for Will, a 2020 movie about the writing of Citizen Kane and a 2009 Kelsey Grammer sitcom.
So that would be Mank for the movie and a 2009 Kelsey Grammer sitcom. I can't think of anything he did that was comedy and not Cheers related, so I'm just going to guess Frank.
It is a name. It is Hank. Where he's a banker who loses his job in the 2008 financial crisis and has to go back to his hometown. Well, that's going to close out round one. Up next, some announcements from Promotion Master Dave, the scores from Dan, and onward towards round two.
Going into round two, this score break is brought to you by Disney Pixar Sal. Disney Pixar Sal, winner of the Golden Globe for Best Original Score, Sal. Right now, Trip is in the lead. He has 50 points and the half point. He was perfect in round one. Randy's got 40 points. Will is trailing with just 25, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
Dave, if no one remembers Sal now, no one's going to remember it in 8 weeks when this episode comes out.
Okay. Is it a short or something?
When Tracy Morgan announced the Golden Globe winner for Best Original Score, he said Sal instead of Soul.
Soul? Okay.
He said it very emphatically. Thanks, Dan. But Will gets a little bit of a chance to make up some ground. It's The Threequalizer. Will, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. Match as many of those answers as you can over three guesses, and you can earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Your Threequalizer question is, David Lynch has used some very experimental techniques in his work, like the backward-talking little person in Twin Peaks, or whatever is going on in Eraserhead, so his mass appeal has been a little bit limited. Of his movies, which have had the three highest UX box office grosses?
Dune, which I'm 99% sure it's not, but I'll go with Dune for one of them. Oh, hey, that shows you how much I know about David Lynch. Yeah, I'm totally blanking, and I think that's all I got.
10 points for Dune, which is his highest grossing movie, with $27.4 million at the box office. Just behind them are The Elephant Man, with 26,
right,
and Wild at Heart, with $14.6 million as a gross. Well, before we get into round two, let's get to know our players a little bit better. Randy, we're still living in a world where live concert going isn't quite what it used to be. So to help us feel a little bit nostalgic, what is your favorite live concert experience?
Probably seeing Radiohead in Toronto back in 2018. They did a brief North American tour that summer where they toured not just behind their most recent album, but behind their whole catalog. And they did two shows in Toronto. I went to both of them. They did 25 songs each night, but they did 47 songs in total. So they only did three songs on both nights. So it was just incredible to see that much of the mix up in the sets. And the band was just incredible both nights. So that's probably one of my favorite concert memories.
Amazing. Trip, maybe your concert memory is a little bit different than a band like Radiohead?
Slightly. I've always been a huge R&B fan. And I think 1989, my senior year of college, I went in Atlanta to see Anita Baker actually opening for Luther Vandross, which is about the smoothest jazz R&B combo you can come up with. And I've just never seen an audience that moved and that just into what was happening on the stage. And apparently, from what I heard, there was a lot of rancor backstage, which made for some good gossip in the audience. But the music was just phenomenal.
That sounds amazing. And Will, what is your big sort of 2021 pop culture goal for the year, and how's it going so far?
Well, I have two major blind spots that really bother me when it comes to pop culture.
Besides David Lynch.
Oh, yeah, obviously. In 2017, I quit my job at a library where the latest movies were constantly going across my desk. And ever since then, I seem to have lost complete track of everything that's come out. So I'm trying to catch up on those. And I also have some weird blind spots for older movies that are incredibly iconic. Like, for example, last week I watched the first two installments of both the Terminator and Alien franchises for the first time. So I'm just kind of trying to catch up on both. And I'm not sure why it took me this far into COVID to start watching a ton of movies, but it has. And it's,
I'm sorry. Did you just call the Terminator and Aliens old classics? Oh, my God. I've never felt older in my life. Jesus Christ.
And Will, I love that you picked the two franchises where you should never watch past the first two movies, right? Those are just stop there. Don't watch anymore.
Well, that's going to take us right into round two. Speaking of movies and time, it's going to be entitled A Passing Retrograde, Doug's Revenge. We just had to fire our projectionist, Doug. His last act was setting and supergluing the projector in reverse. In this game, I'll describe the plot of a well-known movie as we had to watch it in reverse. For example, an astronaut leaves his comfy pad on Jupiter, flies up into a spaceship, and fixes a computer that takes him back towards Earth, where a caveman catches a bone. You'd know that that was a reversed version of
2001 A Space Odyssey.
2001 A Space Odyssey. That would get you 20 points. If you need some help, I can tell you a little bit more about the movie, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Finally, you'll get a chance to answer a follow-up trivia question about that movie for 10 more points. Going to start it off with Will. Having been saved from exposure by his wife and son, an angry man eventually calms down enough to fend off the influence of hotel ghosts.
This would be The Shining.
Correct. Now, Stephen King hated the Kubrick version and made his own version as a 1997 TV miniseries with this Wings star as the lead.
Tony Shalhoub.
I would love to see Tony Shalhoub as Jack Torrance, but that is Steven Weber, star of Stephen King's The Shining.
It should have been Crystal Bernard.
I got that joke trip, and it was funny.
Thank you.
All right, for Randy, a man terrorizes Middle Eastern businessmen in Paris until they give him a teenage girl.
Okay, I think that requires a special set of skills or something? Was that Taken?
Taken is correct. Randy, how many people does our hero kill in the first Taken movie? Is it 35, 70, 105, or 140?
Wow, I have no idea, so let's say 105.
No, it's not quite that bad. 35 casualties from Brian Mills in the first Taken movie. Over to Trip. A high school couple descends from the sky, finds out that they have less and less in common over the course of a school year, only to reconnect in the summer.
Love it. That would be S.A.R.G., Greece.
Yeah, everyone's answers have to be the backwards form of the words now. Trip has set the precedent. Trip, this Your Show of Show host played Coach Calhoun in Greece.
Oh, that was Sid Caesar.
Correct, for 10 more points. Back to Will. Leaving witness protection, a man falls into a life of drugs, goes to prison, and then lives it up in 60s New York.
Yeah, I think I'll go with the hint.
Ray Liotta plays the lead.
Oh, this is Goodfellas.
Will, how many times is the F word or related derivatives used in the theatrical release of the movie? Is it 121 times, 221 times, or 321 times?
I'm going to guess 221.
No, it's the big one. 321 uses of the F word in Goodfellas. For Randy, after a brief quarantine, an alien moves in with a human family. The relationship between them becomes more distant, and the alien flees back home.
Is that E.T.?
Correct. Now, adjusted for inflation, E.T. was the highest grossing film of all time until 1993, when it was displaced by this film by the same director.
Spielberg, 93, Jurassic Park.
Yes. Next up for Trip, old people come down from a spaceship and swim around in a pool that causes them to gradually lose their vigor.
Cocoon.
Cocoon is correct. Trip, this director of Cocoon cast his mother Jean, his father Rance, his wife Cheryl, and his brother Clint in the movie.
Well, he always casts Clint. It's Ron Howard.
Yes. For Will, a group of kids return a pirate's treasure, setting traps to protect it from grave robbers while reuniting a disfigured man with his family.
Is that the Goonies?
Yes, Goonies. Well, after filming was completed, Sean Astin kept the treasure map until his mother, this actress, threw it out. Of course, it might have been her identical cousin.
Would that be Patty Duke?
Sean Astin's mother, Patty Duke. For Randy, a wild animal descends from its perch and wreaks havoc on the city below. Its Broadway show is canceled and is shipped safely back to its island home.
That sounds like, I was going to say Birdman, but I think it's actually King Kong.
Yes, for 20 points. Now, sets from the 1933 version were reused repeatedly, with some eventually being burnt down during a sequence in this 1939 Civil War film.
39, Gone with, Civil War, Gotta Be Gone with the Wind.
For 10 more points, Gone with the Wind. And for Trip, a master criminal breeds distrust, fracturing a city's gangs. Along the way, he heals a disfigured DA and makes a man exhale a pencil.
Oh, boy, I really should know that pencil bit. Okay, which one is it? I think it's one of the Batman movies. I'm going to say just Batman.
Will?
It'd be The Dark Knight.
Yes, Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. Trip, you still get the follow-up. The Dark Knight was the first Batman film since 1966 in which the Batsuit allowed the actor to do this.
I can't even come up with a good guess here. To unzip so he can take a pee.
That's amazing. Will, what is it?
Turn his head.
Really?
Yes. Will, the preeminent Batman expert on this episode, it looks like. And that's going to take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
You know, in our last score break, things are real close. They are still really close. Right now, Will is in third place with 105 points. Trip is just ahead with 110 points and the half point. Randy is in the lead with 120. But boy, this could still be anyone's game.
Within one question of the lead, everyone is amazing. That was Yoda grammar right there. Kicking it back to Will. A father tries to ankle his son, who follows him back to their tropical home.
Betting this is some sort of child's cartoon, but could you give me the hint?
Albert Brooks voices the father.
I know I'm going to be really mad when I don't get this one, because it's in there somewhere. But I cannot reach it. What? I give up.
That is going to be Pixar's Finding Nemo.
Right.
Albert Brooks as Marlin. Still get the follow-up, Will. The shark in this film is named Bruce in an homage to this film.
That'd be Jaws.
Yes, the nickname for the robotic shark on the set of Jaws. Over to Randy. A man's increasingly noxious behavior towards a captive girl transforms him into a monster. He does wind up releasing her so she can get back to her books.
Yes, that sounds like ideal fodder for a Disney animated musical, Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. Now, in the 2017 version, Emma Thompson took over the role of Mrs. Potts from this actress, better known for solving mysteries.
The legendary Dame Angela Lansbury.
Yes, another 10 points for Randy. Next up for Trip. An electrical lineman gradually regains his sanity after aliens drop him off in Wyoming.
Oh, Wyoming, Devil's Tower, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes. Now, Tripp, on the Hynek scale used in the movie, a close encounter of the third kind is seeing an alien. Physical evidence of the UFO having been present is an encounter of which kind?
I'll say that's the first kind.
Second kind is that physical evidence. One more movie plot in reverse for each of our characters.
I mean, worth a lot.
Next one's for Will. Adorable pets are created when scaly monsters are kept in the dark, starved, and dried.
That's great. Gremlins?
Yes. Will, this comedian and germaphobe voiced Gizmo in the movie.
Howie Mandel?
Nice.
Yes, the full 30 for Will. Next up to Randy. A ragtag group fills a vault with cash before restoring power to a city and disbanding.
Definitely, well, it's a heist movie. Sounds plot-wise like Ocean's 11?
Yes. During filming, many of the actors lived in this Vegas hotel.
Bellagio.
Yes, the very casino they're robbing, the Bellagio. And next for Trip. A soldier helicopters into the jungle and acquires weapons and allies to help him fight off an alien creature.
Boy, I'm not coming up with this at all. I'll need the hint, please.
The allies eventually include Jesse Ventura.
I don't even have a good guess. Tropic Thunder.
Into the chopper!
That's going to be Predator. Predator is the answer there. Still one more follow-up for Trip. The role of the Predator, played in the film by 7'2" actor Kevin Peter Hall, was initially played by this much shorter Belgian actor and martial artist.
That'd be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes, a beautifully intoned answer from Trip. We'll finish up round two. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to the final round. Before we get to the final round, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to this pop culture riddle by next week's episode, and you can win fabulous prizes like the rights to name a score break on a future episode. Dan?
Of one building we'll have a grand tour. Not much in the budget, so the director can score. Seems tame today, but the censors then scoffed. Too bad the title is a few numbers off.
Think you know the answer? Find the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com or check the link in your show notes and show off that knowledge. Thank you for that riddle, Dan. So let's hear the scores.
Absolutely. Before we get into round three, it's time for the Getting Slimed in the Kids' Choice Awards score break. Getting Slimed in the Kids' Choice Awards. 100% not worth the orange blimp. Right now, Randy is in the lead with 180 points, Will is pretty close behind with 145, and Trip has 140 points and the half point. That means he'll go first in round three, and he'll have to get four questions correct in order to move into the lead.
Very close game, and anything can still happen in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are My Questions with Andre, Good Form Bella Thorne, I'm Getting Cheese Fries, and The Traveling Wilburys. Now, these topics may be a little bit mysterious from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Trip, in third place, you get first pick. Which of these four categories would you like? Once again, they are My Questions with Andre, Good Form Bella Thorne, I'm Getting Cheese Fries, and The Traveling Wilburys.
Well, one of my favorite movies of all time is My Dinner with Andre, so for that reason alone, I'm going to go with My Questions with Andre.
Do you have a guess as to what this lightning round's going to be?
Andre's Near and Far.
Not quite. It's even a little bit more specific. The my in My Dinner with Andre is actor Wallace Shawn. So this will be a category all about the career of Wallace Shawn.
Oh, yeah.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer begins when I finish reading the first question. Trip, are you ready?
Absolutely.
He played the Sicilian Vizzini in this 80s classic.
The Princess Bride.
Kit Kittredge is an installment of this doll-based franchise.
Annabelle?
American Girl. He's a physicist, professor, and friend to a boy genius on this sitcom.
Young Sheldon?
This legendary choreographer directed Sean in All That Jazz.
Bob Fosse.
Like most of the characters, Sean's Mozart in the Jungle character has this profession.
Pass.
Sean plays a comedy writer on this Amazon period comedy series.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
In 2012's Vamps, Alicia Silverstone and Kristen Ritter are vampires. He has this role.
Van Helsing.
On Deep Space Nine, he played a revered member of this problematic alien race.
Romulans.
Ferengi. He plays Manny in a 2015 installment of this classic Sierra fantasy computer game series.
Pass.
In the Toy Story franchise, he voices this neurotic green toy.
Rex.
Sean voices a talking hernia on this long-running animated series.
Good heavens. Pass.
On Crossing Jordan, he was Dr. Stiles. She played the title medical examiner.
Pass.
He has a role in the 2017 sequel to this family-friendly Burt Reynolds buddy cop flick. That's Cop and a Half. All right, Dan, let's hear the trip report.
Absolutely. Let's go through the passes first. In Mozart in the Jungle, Wallace Shawn, of course, plays a musician like most people on there. The classic Sierra fantasy computer game series is King's Quest, which I was shocked to find out was still going on in the year 2015. He plays a talking hernia, and I know this sounds like it should be a South Park thing. It is, in fact, on The Simpsons. He played one of Homer's hernia that was talking. I don't know, man. And on Crossing Jordan, he was Dr. Stiles. Jill Hennessy played, I guess her name is Jordan. Yeah. I don't know. The show was on a long time ago. Still, Tripp got 6 correct answers. That gives him 200 points and the half point and puts him into the lead. Will is going to need to get 6 questions correct in his category if he wants to pull into first.
Thank you, Dan. All right, Will, your remaining category choices are Good Form Bella Thorne, I'm Getting Cheese Fries, and The Traveling Wilburys.
I like food, so I'll go with the cheese fries one.
Any guesses as to what this is going to be about more specifically?
Hopefully something like fast food restaurants in pop culture.
Kind of way off on the guess, sadly. The line, I'm getting cheese fries, is spoken by Regina George in the movie Mean Girls.
Okay.
Regina George is, of course, played by Rachel McAdams, so this will be all about the life and career of Rachel McAdams.
Ooh. Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Are you ready, Will?
I suppose so.
Her character Sigrid represents this country in Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
Pass.
Her one Oscar nomination comes for this 2015 Best Picture winner.
Ooh, pass.
She was born in this country.
The United States.
Canada. She's paired with this British star for 2005's Red Eye.
Cillian Murphy.
Colin Farrell co-stars with her in season 2 of this anthology series.
American Horror Story.
True Detective. In The Hot Chick, she ends up in the body of this actor.
That'd be Rob Schneider.
McAdams is in 7 episodes of this Canadian series set at a Shakespeare festival.
Oh, Slings and Arrows?
She's the Irene Adler to this actor's Sherlock Holmes.
Pass.
She's Amy, the youngest member of this title family in a 2005 comedy drama.
Pass.
If McAdams is the time traveler's wife, then he is the time traveler.
Pass.
She worked with this British writer-director in About Time.
Pass.
She's a morning show producer for Harrison Ford and her in Morning Glory.
Pass.
She appears in this Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Dr. Strange?
She was born in the same hospital as this future co-star of The Notebook.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling right at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's get the Will report.
Just for the record, Taylor, am I timed when I do these? Do I have 90 seconds, or can I take a little more time than that to go through the passes? Let's go through the passes. Her character Sigrid represents Iceland in Eurovision Song Contest. Her one Oscar nomination came for Best Picture winner Spotlight. It is, of course, Cillian Murphy, and Will got that one correct because it is spelled funny because Irish people are better at spelling than Welsh people, but still not great. She's the Irene Adler to Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes. She's Amy in The Family Stone from the movie The Family Stone, which I'm required to point out was, of course, filmed right outside my office in New Jersey. The Time Traveler in The Time Traveler's Wife is Eric Bana. The director of About Time is Richard Curtis. Diane Keaton is on the morning show that she produces in Morning Glory. Will got a total of 5 answers correct, which unfortunately is not enough to move him into first place. He has 195 points. Randy's up next. He currently has 180 points. He'll need to get 3 correct answers in order to move into first and take the win.
All right, Randy, 2 category choices left for you. We have Good Form Bella Thorne and The Traveling Wilburys.
As a Gen Xer, I'm not sure I know anything about Bella Thorne. So I am going to take The Traveling Wilburys.
What do you think this category is going to be?
It could be about something in the 80s, or it could be about projects involving the members of the Wilburys.
You're pretty much right on with your second guess. This is going to be about the solo careers of the 5 members of The Traveling Wilburys: Bob Dylan, George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, and Tom Petty.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Randy, are you ready?
Yes.
It is unknown as to whether the solo on While My Guitar Gently Weeps was played by George Harrison or this guitarist.
Eric Clapton.
This Bob Dylan song asks, how does it feel to be on your own?
Like a Rolling Stone.
Norwegian Wood was the first Beatles song to feature George Harrison on this instrument.
Sitar.
Jeff Lynne wrote and performed Mr. Blue Sky and Don't Bring Me Down as part of this group.
Yellow.
Roy Orbison re-recorded Crying as a duet with this Canadian singer.
Katie Lang.
Tom Petty appears in this 1997 post-apocalyptic Kevin Costner movie.
The Postman?
Roy Orbison was famously neighbors with this Folsom Prison blues singer.
Johnny Cash.
Bob Dylan changed his name from Robert Zimmerman in tribute to this Welsh poet.
Dylan, I get pass.
Jeff Lynne performed Evil Woman with this Yesterday actor at the 2015 Grammys.
Pass.
This rock band scored a hit in 1982 with a cover of Oh, Pretty Woman.
Van Halen?
This Courtney Cox series takes all its episode titles from Tom Petty songs.
Cougar Town.
6 actors play 6 versions of Bob Dylan in this unconventional biopic.
I'm Not There.
George Harrison embraced this spiritual movement, later invoking the name in My Sweet Lord.
Hare Krishna.
Jeff Lynne wrote original songs for this 1984 sci-fi comedy.
Pass.
Tom Petty sings about the last dance with this girl.
Mary Jane.
Woo. Mary Jane, right at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Randy report.
You know, normally I like to try and keep people in suspense as to the final scores. I'm not sure that's going to work so well this time, but let's go through the passes first. I think Randy was pretty close on this one. Bob Dylan changed his name from Robert Zimmerman in tribute to Dylan Thomas. The Yesterday actor we're talking about is Ed Sheeran. I know we obviously know him as a singer, but of course he's an actor, both in Yesterday and, of course, in Game of Thrones. And the 1984 sci-fi comedy that no one remembers that Jeff Lynne wrote the songs for was Electric Dreams, where, I don't know, it's kind of like Her, but it's the 80s, who knows. That means our final scores are Will with 195 points, Trip with 200 points and a half point, and our winner with 300 points, having gotten 12 correct answers in the lightning round, it's Randy.
Randy.
Well done, Randy.
Well done. Thank you.
Congratulations to Randy, but that does mean it is sadly the end of your time, Will and Trip. Guys, both games that you are here, super, super fun and fantastic. Thank you again for playing with us. Trip, in the meantime, where can our listeners hear, see more of you online and elsewhere?
I am Puzzle Trip on Twitter, and you can find a lot of pop culture quizzes that I write on Sporkle.com.
Fantastic. And Will, anything you'd like to plug?
Well, like I said, I'm trying to fill in all my cinematic blind spots. So if you want to follow me on Letterboxd, my handle is UniqueName2. That's the number 2. And I can't guarantee it'll be fun or interesting, but it's all I got.
Thank you, Will. But again, those big congratulations are for Randy after a particularly strong lightning round. You're going to be moving on to the Season 3 Championship match.
Woohoo.
In the meantime, anything you're going to be watching, reading, listening to help you study up?
I am not giving you guys any hints about that because I don't want to get stuck in any categories in the final.
Well, they finally figured it out why we asked that question all the time. Well, thank you, Randy. And where can our listeners find more of you? Anything to plug?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Randois, R-A-N-D-O-I-S. And you can also find a pottery studio that my husband and I own at islandstoneware.ca.
Wonderful. And listeners, follow Randy as the tongue emoji on our Season 3 bracket. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Make sure to join us next week for the Long Division playoffs with returning players Eric, Iron Chef Kosher Akawi, Julia, Mighty Mighty Fausti, and Mike, Prize Task McComb. That game will complete the lineup for the Season 3 championship match the week after that. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Hey, listeners, remember Dan's riddle from before round 3? Submit that answer via the link in your show notes below or find the page for this episode on our website, usaquizshow.com. While you're at our website, make sure you listen to all our past episodes, check the old season brackets, and find links to subscribe to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show everywhere you get your podcast, as well as all the bonus content in our Patreon.
You can always find us online. We're at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is assembled backwards and then reassembled forwards is how we do it every week, believe it or not, with your host, Taylor Cole, your Quizmaster, Scoremaster, Dan Cassino, and yours truly, Production Master, David T. Cole.
Finally, you'll get a chance to answer a follow-up trivia question about that movie for 10 more points. Going to start it off with Will.
12-year-old contestant Will. Can he get his first question right?
It's funny, when Tripp said seeing Luther Vandross in 1989, his senior year of college, I was like, I don't think Will was born in 1989.
I was born in 1989, yeah.
I think a lot of people were born because of that concert. So.